Hello, hello. Welcome to Squabbles of the Soil, Season 4, a podcast produced in collaboration with MTSU Collegiate FFA Chapter and directed by students of the MTSU Debate and Discussions in Agriculture class. The opinions stated on this podcast are not affiliated with MTSU. The dirt of the day here consists of controversial agricultural topics. Let's come down to earth.
Hello, my name is Madeline Westergaard, and I am an agribusiness major at Middle Tennessee State University. Today's topic will be about spaying and neutering your pet. Before we get into our first guest, I do want to give a little bit of research information that I have found about spaying or neutering your animals. First, we'll start with cats. Cats should be spayed or neutered before 6 months of age. This helps with their growth. For dogs, you should ask your veterinarian. It depends on the type of breed. Sometimes surgeries before a certain amount of time can cause cancer in your animal. So always speak with a veterinarian before you spay or neuter your animal. Sometimes they might give information as far as what type of breed you have and if it's the right time to spay or neuter. Today's guest will be Mr. Michael Shirley. He is the co-owner as well as the office manager of Family Pet Health, which is a veterinary clinic in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
This is Madeline.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well.
This one is called Squabbles of the Soil. It is for my agricultural debate and discussion class. And I really just want to speak with you about like what you do, talk to you a little bit about your clinic, and then maybe get into some financial things if you're okay with that.
All right, so my name is Michael Shirley, and my wife, Dr. Amy Shirley, and I own Family Pet Health, which is a small animal and exotic veterinary office, general practice that's located in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We started it in March of 2018. We bought an existing practice and have made significant changes to their operations and grown our team from my wife and three employees. Now we have four doctors and 20 employees on our team. And we just opened up a brand new hospital building, almost 10,000 square feet, located off of Joe B. Jackson at exit 84 in Murfreesboro. So,
wow, that is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I guess I guess I should say my role, because I am not a veterinarian, and my wife is. My role at our office is marketing, public relations, anything and everything HR. And kind of the business side of things. So making sure the bills are paid and that our team has the resources they need to do their jobs.
That is awesome. So if you don't mind, I do have a couple of questions about like the financial side. What you do like as a manager that helps you run the clinic, that type of stuff. So can I just ask you like what type of clinic do you run yourself? Like is it mostly just for house pets, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I would say that we are a general practice for small animals and exotics, meaning dogs, cats, and pocket pets. So the majority of what we do is wellness. So it's just preventative maintenance, preventative medicine. We do routine surgery, spays, neuters, tumor removals, some amputations, eye things like that, but. We also are heavy in dental compliance, so making sure that our pet parents understand the importance of dental health of their pets, and we're trying to, have anesthetic events every day at our office, meaning that one doctor and their support team every day is doing surgery, so, and then the other doctors are seeing medical and wellness appointments each day.
That is awesome. My topic is about when I should spay or neuter my dog, really.
You went straight for the controversy.
Excited. I know you're not a vet, but as far as like the financial aspect of it, How much roughly, say if I don't have insurance or anything like that to cover, how much does your clinic cost to spay or neuter my animal or my dog? And like, what does that entail? Does it, does the price fluctuate during, if the dog's younger, if it's older, male, female, that kind of stuff?
So at our office, I would tell you that, that our target market, you know, our target audience, our target client is someone who values education, who values science, and treats their pet as a member of the family. It's not our, you will not see many of our clients that just have their dog tied up in the backyard on a chain, right? That's not who we are looking for. It's not to say we wouldn't take care of somebody's pet that's like that, but that, that, but the way that we market and operate our clinic with someone that considers their pet just a dog or just a cat is probably going to come into our office and be like, this place is extra, right? So what that means for the clients that are looking for more of a concierge type service, that's what they're going to get at Family Pet Health. You know, when you're, when you pull into our parking lot, you call in, we tell you to come on in, your room's ready, or we ask you to wait in your car if your room's not quite ready, so that when you walk into our building, you're getting straight into your exam room. You're not waiting in the lobby with everybody else, your dog barking at the neighbor's cat beside you, stressing them out and things like that. Like, when you walk into our office, it feels more like a, almost like a spa, like a human health spa, where it's calming music and natural lighting and it's quiet, right? When our doctors come into the room, they're there and they're focused on you. We have longer appointments, so a standard appointment time at our office is 30 minutes, whereas a lower cost clinic that's kind of what I say churning and burning, you know, they might have less, the exam may be less, but you're only going to get a few minutes with the doctor, where ours, we structure our exam times longer so that we can answer your questions, that we can listen to you to see what your concerns are, so that we can kind of tailor make your plan for your pet based on your desired outcomes. So when it comes, and that kind of same approach carries over to our surgeries as well. Our surgery, we are not the cheapest place in town. In fact, we're probably one of the more expensive places in town. Because of what I told you earlier, we're not seeing, our doctors are not seeing as many patients each day. So the ones that they do see, we do have to charge a premium for that. It's like the difference between going to the Ritz-Carlton versus the Safari Inn over off of Church Street, right? The Bay Hotel, right? If you're looking for a certain quality and standard and customer service, that's what you're going to find at Family Pet Health. So in our surgeries, you know, Tennessee state law allows anyone to monitor anesthesia, meaning that in theory, I could go and hire somebody off the street and have them monitoring anesthesia during your beloved pet surgery just a couple of hours later.
Wow.
So how does that make you feel?
Not good.
right. So at Family Pet Health, our surgeries, you have a doctor in there, you have a licensed veterinary technician who is in charge of monitoring anesthesia and assisting the doctor with the surgery, and then you have a veterinary assistant. So my surgeries have three people, two of which are licensed, board, you know, they've taken their board exams.
Yeah.
And another, most of our, you know, some of our veterinary assistants are actually, have gone through school for a certified veterinary assistant program.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to pay them more. And so that cost, just like every business cost, gets passed down to the client in the end, right?
So,
our surgeries are a little bit more expensive. I tend to think that my people are worth it. You know, they're better.
Absolutely. And
they provide a higher standard of care than you might find somewhere that's a couple hundred dollars less than us. You asked about, is it the same price, say a dog's in heat or a dog is pregnant? No, it does go up from there, because that becomes a very complicated surgery.
Yes.
It may require extra anesthesia time. So with all of our surgeries, we have a base of anesthesia that's included in there, and then we just charge by the minute, per minute. So It's so when you come in and get a care plan, everything that we do at Family Pet Health before we start, we give our pet parents a care plan so that they have an idea before we start. They sign it that says that they understand that their bill is going to be somewhere in this range of money.
Okay.
And if it exceeds what we gave you as a care plan, we have a couple options. We might call you and say, hey, we found this. It's going to actually require more anesthesia time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just eat it because we missed the mark on our care plan.
Mm-hmm.
But so every single one is not, you know, a standard, hey, this is a 6-month-old male dog that's getting neutered. Yeah, we pretty much got that honed in. We know exactly with our team how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Or how long it should take, you know, an average doctor to do that. Some of our doctors are really, they have many, many years of experience. Some of our doctors are new. Mm-hmm. And so they take longer, but we don't charge the client more for that. You know, you win some, you lose some as far as surgery time goes, you know, so that's kind of what's all included in that base. But if something is really complicated, especially this is something that really happens a lot with dental procedures, is you don't really know what you're going to find until you can take x-rays of the mouth.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately our pets don't just say, we have to sedate them to do that. So, so sometimes those surgeries become much more in depth than we had thought, but so we'll call people about that. But
absolutely.
First phase and neuters, they're pretty well dialed in.
Okay. Yeah. So if I brought in, say I just got him like a 2-year-old Australian Shepherd that I want to get neutered. Would that starting price be completely different than the 6-month-old?
Yeah. So they're going to put together the care plan and it's going to be, you know, depending on do you need shots and vaccines and microchips all at the same time, but you're not going to walk out of that for less than $300, you know, for a neuter. Yeah. Whereas you could go to Paws and get it for free.
Yeah, yeah. See, I'd rather pay.
And that's what we tell people. Like, we do not judge our clients, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to leave the room and be like, oh, what a terrible pet owner. Do they even know they're taking their dog over there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know in your life. So, I got enough to worry about. I don't need to worry about, you know, judging you because you've decided to go somewhere else for that surgery. We need to be able to, we have to have a surgery suite. We have to be able to, because we're a full service vet, you know, we have to be able to take care of our patients when they need us. And that includes having a surgery suite. So might as well use it.
Yeah, absolutely. In your opinion, so someone who technically is not a vet, but does work in a clinic, when would you suggest for people to come in and get their animal spayed? How would your reaction be if a dog was slightly aggressive, super nervous, like all of the above? Like, how would you and your doctors go about that?
Well, I guess I hadn't really considered much about their attitude as playing into that. You know, when we talk about what time is the right time to spay or neuter your pet, a lot of it goes back to listening to your clients and what their concerns and what their plans are, what their desires are. I worked for 2 years at Paul's when Amy was finishing veterinary school. I participated in you know, transporting many, many, many what we would call young spays and neuters, right? Mm-hmm. Like dogs that were 12 weeks old.
Yeah.
And those dogs have lived long and happy lives. I've seen it.
Yeah.
But that's because the mission of animal control or Paws is to make sure that we're not increasing unwanted pet population.
Yeah.
So before the dogs, you know, the dogs are in there because they were surrendered or picked up running loose. They have to make sure, they have a mandate to make sure that all the dogs that are placed out of the shelter are altered, spayed and neutered, so that people don't accidentally let them, you know, get pregnant and have more puppies or kittens.
Yeah.
At our office, you know, my daughter has a miniature American Shepherd, and we chose to wait. I think she was about 10 months before we spayed her. And that was because we wanted her to be, she's a sport dog. She's used for agility. And there were some studies that showed But there's an advantage to letting them grow until they reach matured size before you spay and neuter them with it, as it relates to joint health. Mm-hmm. There's also some studies that show that it doesn't matter. So, because it wasn't a big deal to us at our house, mm-hmm. we went ahead and erred on waiting. But if somebody told me, hey, look, I live in an apartment, and if my dog comes into heat and gets blood on the floor, I'm in trouble. Yeah. I got to get this done before the first heat. Okay, let's do it. We can do that.
Okay.
If they said, hey, I have a giant breed dog, you know, this Great Dane, and I would really feel comfortable waiting until they're a year and a half old before I spay them. Okay, yeah. That's fine. Let's do it. You know, it's really listening to our clients and what their plans are for their pet and what their comfort level is with certain things.
Yeah.
If I had a working farm dog, a Great Pyrenees, out with my sheep,
mm-hmm.
I am spaying and neutering them before the first heat cycle.
Yeah.
I am neutering that male dog before he becomes totally sexually mature, because I don't want him wandering off and leaving my sheep so that he can go get with the neighbor's, you know, in-season female.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, I don't want unwanted. There's enough unwanted Great Pyrenees crosses out there that I would tell somebody that has a working dog, hey, if your dog's a really, really good working dog, it may actually be super hard for you to bring it in, like, to the office to have it spayed and neutered. It's easier to do that when they're younger, and then it's just done.
Yeah.
Before they become 120 pounds. A 120-pound farm dog that doesn't enjoy riding in the car or even being led on the leash.
Yep.
That's not fun to bring in mm-hmm. when they're fully grown into the vet office to have them neutered.
Yeah.
But why not? Let's just go ahead and do that when they're younger and can be picked up.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I just say, I walked into your clinic, and it was beautiful. I mean, just every aspect of it. I was like, oh my gosh, they have porches. Like, yep. It was absolutely amazing.
I'm glad that impression was left with you. That was what we were going for.
Yes.
Again, you know, this kind of going back to those financials, the amount of square footage that a normal vet clinic dedicates to seating in the lobby, we were able to turn that into 3 exam rooms.
Yeah.
And would you rather wait in your exam room or wait in the lobby?
Absolutely. Well,
exam room. And then our exam rooms have the outdoor, you know, like you can sit on the patio or you can go straight to your car. You don't have to pass back through the lobby and things like that. So that's why we designed
amazing.
It that way.
You know, like just every aspect of it you could tell was so planned out and so detail oriented. And I was absolutely shocked and 100% would recommend going there.
I want to leave your listeners with one final thought, and that is that you should go into your vet office and ask the questions that you asked me today. That is perfectly normal. We welcome when people ask us the reasons why we do certain things the way that we do them. And if your veterinary professional sees that as offensive or that you're questioning them, then I would say you should continue your search for another veterinarian. You know, the goal of all the veterinarians that I know, I've never met a veterinarian that didn't have the goal of helping pets.
Yeah.
And there is a veterinarian out there for everybody. There is the right vet for you. They're worth driving for. When you and your veterinarian's, you know, vision matches up, it's a great relationship.
Yeah.
And that means if you're bonded to your clinic, they're the ones that will pick up the phone and they will try to work you in. They'll try to say yes more than no.
Yeah.
But you do need to have that relationship with them.
People, especially me, my animals, my dog is like my baby.
That's right.
So taking them somewhere and our core values not aligning is worrisome. But the fact that you are so open and says stuff like, you know, maybe you should check out here, that, you know, just anything like that is so almost heartwarming to know that I could walk in and we could have that discussion without like any type of fear or, you know, anything like that.
Yep, absolutely. And that's a big part of the reason we do it all. Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, very good.
You have been such an amazing help, and I am so grateful to you. And
well, we're glad that we could help. So
absolutely.
Let us know if you need anything in the future.
Thank Thank you so much, Michael Shirley, for allowing me to interview you for this. I definitely agree with everything that he said as far as spaying or neutering. Definitely speak with your veterinarian before you go and you decide it's time to neuter or spay your animal. Doesn't matter if it's a cat or a dog. You need to find the correct vet, the vet that you feel comfortable with enough to speak with about what exactly the right course of action is.
Thank you for joining us on another insightful episode of Squabbles of the Soil. We hope you've enjoyed digging deep into the pressing issues facing our agricultural world. Keep listening and find out who you are rooting for.